Fox.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
Hi, I'm Joe Cole.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood,
ball gonna bounce down, it's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's 9 o'clock on Thursday night, a day later and an hour later than usual. But you are listening to the Unused Substitutes live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network and sponsored by Roughneck Scars. As almost always, my name is Matt. And on the other end is a guy who will never leave you alone for three weeks at a time. My good buddy, Dan. Dan, how you doing?
I'm still recovering. Thanks.
You have a rough night last night?
I wouldn't call it rough. I think the morning was rough. The night was
the morning was rougher, yeah. Although I don't know, you ate a hot dog with barbecue sauce and onions.
Okay, so I had a brownie before I left yesterday and went to a pool, had a little bit of fruit and started drinking, and then like I got a text from my friend and she was just like, "I'm going to Five Guys, it's the 4th of July, we should get hot dogs." And I was like, "Yeah, grab me a hot dog, you know, like mustard or ketchup only, whatever." She's like, okay. And then she gets there, and we have a bucket of Cajun fries, which we ordered regular fries, and we both unwrapped our hot dogs, and they were both barbecue sauce and onion. And I think at that point in the night, neither of us cared.
I honestly didn't even know that Five Guys did hot dogs. But I am used to the order being messed up, because every time I start, like ever since they opened down here and I started going to them, I'd always order a bacon cheeseburger and they would always forget the bacon. But the damn burgers are so good, you kind of don't care at that point.
Right. I mean, I almost never, ever actually buy anything other than a hamburger. I don't think I've actually ever had a hamburger from Five Guys.
They're fantastic.
I mean, a hot dog. I've always had the hamburgers. I've never bought anything else. But it was 4th of July. We needed to have something, right? Like, it needed to be something delicious. And it wasn't.
But at that point, you didn't really care.
No, I didn't. I mean, I just needed something in my stomach, and it worked.
You didn't want to get any poutine?
Honestly, if somebody would have shown up with poutine, I would have eaten it, no questions asked, because it was that kind. It was that point. We were at that point.
Could have done some Cajun fried poutine.
Ugh, I didn't want to make it. If it was there and it was the only thing to eat, I would have done it.
Well, it's I was just trying to think. It's been what, 2 weeks since I was in the show, because I was in Mobile 2 weeks ago at a conference. Then last week I was in Charlotte at the game, but the game was delayed by weather and then didn't end till 10:30. So we didn't do the show then. So this is like the first time in 2 weeks, 3 weeks or so that we've actually talked and done this.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
Let's see. The last time that I'm trying to think. No, because you hadn't even done your Mobile trip last time we did the show.
No.
All right. So talk about that for a few minutes. You went to Mobile the day that I came back from Mobile, and I did figure out we didn't actually pass each other because I was home about a half hour before the game ended.
Yeah,
I thought about coming to St. Pete. I would have caught maybe the last 20-30 minutes, but after being in the car for like 8.5 hours, I was just like, screw it, I'm going home. I managed to get part of the first half on the radio station on a WHNZ for a while, but it hit halftime, and then I was out of the range at that point. So I just was following along on Twitter after that.
I mean, it wasn't the best Rowdies game to send Marcel Schaefer off with, but it was a good one. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was a good send off, and I literally just hauled butt out of the parking lot and got on the road to Mobile, as you well know, because you were just there right before me. It's a cute little city. It felt like a less trashy New Orleans.
Yeah. I can do it. So there's a rivalry actually between them. The second or third day I was there, they were giving us a tour, and you were right there a few days later because you were taking pictures of like the statues in the park and everything.
Yeah,
like you were in the exact same place as I was like a day or two before. They claim, and now first of all, and I learned a couple things on my trip to Mobile. Number one, did you hear all the honking in the tunnel?
I didn't have a tunnel. Like, what tunnel did you go through?
It's like right when you I-10, you come across there's like that bridge right before Mobile Bay, and then you get in the town, and there was like a tunnel we had to go through.
No, I got off right at that like first exit at the end of the bridge.
Ah, okay. Because yeah. I came in a little bit further because I had to catch another interstate to go up to North Mobile. But there's a tunnel, and when you're in there, everyone's honking, and I just assumed it was like, you know, whatever you did in the tunnel for some reason. It was explained to me by a Mobile resident that everybody honks in the tunnel because they are idiots.
Yeah, no, the only tunnel I went to is right where that the statue is, right in downtown
right.
Mobile. That,
yeah, the was it the Buckhead Tunnel or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, because my hotel was right there.
Oh, okay. So going back to what I was saying, first of all, in Mobile, they call it Mardi Gras. They don't pronounce the R. It's like pronounced like an H. They claim to have actually had it longer than Louisiana, than New Orleans. And people from Louisiana disagree. Go figure.
Of course. I mean.
But they did point out that they actually have more Mardi Gras statues in Mobile than they have Confederate statues, which I guess is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, we're getting somewhere. But, I mean, I wandered around for a bit Saturday, and then I went to watch the, I think they're, what, Alexandria Pool Boys FC or something like that, versus AFC Mobile. And it was, I mean, the rules are a little different, and it was crazy, but it was a lot of fun. I like what they're doing there a lot, and I would love to go back. I went to see the Pool Boys.
Right,
because of the joke, but I definitely left it an AFC Mobile fan.
Did you get to meet Abram?
No, I didn't really. I didn't get to talk to really too many people. It was world, you know, one of the World Cup days, and most of the supporters group was hammered, and
nice.
I think he was probably busy on game day stuff.
Yeah, he's mentioned before, like he loves going to away games because that's when he actually gets to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit, obviously, on Sunday on Twitter, but I'm a fan, definitely a fan. I love what they're doing there.
Yeah, I dig the town. I'd definitely go back there sometime. I would do that. All right, so, yeah, we didn't even talk about the Marcel game because I wasn't in town.
No, we didn't really because I left, and then we didn't really get to do a show about that one because Charlotte, and it's been a mess. But
But you talked about it the next week, didn't you?
Did I? I don't remember. Probably.
Because that would be the Wednesday. That would be the first Wednesday I was out of town because I was in Mobile.
Then, yes,
then last week was when I was in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia.
Yeah, then I did. Yeah, I don't. It's all blurring together at this point.
Yeah, I know the feeling. All right, so we'll jump in. We'll talk a little bit about the Charlotte game, and then we'll talk about last night's game, talk about some other stuff, and then we'll talk about Saturday's game. So, last week, last Wednesday, 2-2 draw in Charlotte. Come from behind. Charlotte jumps out to a 2-0 lead early in the first half. And the Rowdies fight back in the second half. I'm trying to think. I was right there. And I can't remember on top of my head who scored the first goal. It was Tam. Tam got his first goal of the season. And then Dominic Orduro, on his debut, subbed on in the second half. With the Sports Center number 9, I still think that's underrated, play of the day with the 90th minute, you know, stoppage time equalizer to come out of Charlotte with a point. Did you get to watch that one live?
Yeah, I watched it on my couch.
All right, so good, bad, ugly. What do you got?
The first half was just ugly. I mean, on nobody's like fault, but like it was just two teams just chilling and you know, hanging out there. And Odura wasn't subbed on, by the way. He was on the whole game.
Was he?
Yeah.
I thought he came on in the second half.
Nope. Morel, Vingard, and Georgie came on.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But it was, you know, KG.
Oh, because he's in that Roseboom spot.
Yes. He's been the holding mid. The first half was pretty, pretty boring, and then the second half was a completely, completely different game, which, I mean, was great. I feel like Stefan and SNL, like, that had everything. It had goals. It had cards. It, you know... it had Hunter bleeding from his head.
There was blood spraying everywhere, yeah.
But it was, you know, I mean, I tweeted out during the game or after the game that you can say a lot about where we're at as a team, but a Neil Collins side doesn't quit. It hasn't quit. Do I think we should have been better than going down 2-0 to this Charlotte side? Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, things some kinks are still being worked out, and show that kind of resilience to come back. You know, Tam, and then that shot by Aduro, oh, that was gorgeous. And we probably should have scored a third late, because we went, we were up by two guys at the end of the game. Let's see, second yellow, Joel Johnson, red card,
yeah.
Smith. Yeah, so, I mean, that was in stoppage anyway, but we had 4 minutes of being up by two guys. We might have been able to. You would like to see maybe us squeak out the win, but it was it ended exciting.
And Jochen had one called back for offsides that I talked to him for a little bit after the game. He had no clue the ref had blown the whistle. He thought he had that, and he was very excited and then very unexcited.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember it. I can't fully picture. I don't think if it was offside, it was very close.
Right. So I went up there, drove up there for the game. That was a 10 and a half hour drive. Turned out to be worth it, apparently. People were talking about the some of the commentary and stuff and things going on. So I got up there. We left here about 6 in the morning. I got into Charlotte at about 4:30. Met up with Adam Martin, because in order to have, like, I brought a couple of my flags with me. In order to have them at the game, they've actually got to be taken to the stadium beforehand. They had to be there by 5:30 so they can be, you know, inspected and cleared and then left in the stands for us for when we get in. Then met up with a couple of the Charlotte guys from Jack's Militia, and Adam was there too, because they're not allowed to tailgate at the stadium. So we were at this little beer bar in downtown. Not downtown Charlotte, but this little suburb called Matthews. It's probably about a mile or so from the stadium. Then we hitched a ride over there. I met up with Ben, the soccer goose from Talking Jacks podcast, gave me a ride over the stadium just in time for them to declare a weather delay, which, and I thought this was nice. We didn't have this at Al Lang. Didn't see it last night. They actually keep like a running clock on the scoreboard so you can tell when you might be getting in, when the game might actually start. So game was delayed for a little bit. We hung out in the parking lot drinking something that definitely was not cans of beer, because that's not allowed in the parking lot. Made our way in. And then at that point, cause it had been pouring, those flags that I brought up there were soaked. So it was like getting a good arm and shoulder workout, waving those at the very beginning. And as far as Rowdies fans go, it was me, Adam. And then there was like a family, a couple adults, maybe 2-3 kids, who, as best as I could tell, are from Charlotte, but just like the Rowdies. So they were out there. No, we had a good time. Like second half, there was just the two of us, me and Adam, and waving the flags. We let the kids wave the flags for a little while. Got to talk with some of the players while they were doing warmups. Jochen was griping at one of the Charlotte players, so I gave him a little comment. Got a wink from him. I was very happy. But we went over to the Charlotte section for the second half, because like we were doing some chants and singing and they were beating on a drum. We figured we'd combine it and make it into a one section, do the, like the USF guys do. And we had a good time over there.
Good. It was a good game. I mean, despite the delay, it seemed like, the second half anyway, you got 45 minutes of good entertaining soccer.
Yeah, I wonder if, because it seems like both teams were kind of, I mean, I know Charlotte scored two goals in the first half, but I think that's more of a statement about us than it really was about them. I wonder if the rain delay just kind of threw everybody off.
No, they scored in the second half too, dude.
They had one. I thought they had two in the first half.
No, 57 and 64. Are you okay?
I'm old and this was a week ago.
True.
Yeah, I remember now because they were popping off smoke while me and Adam were over there. Oh, well. We got even at the end. I wonder if the rain delay contributes to the kind of the slow start that the teams had.
Especially, I mean, on our end, Neil Collins has definitely been preaching how he wants a fast start, which, I mean, we'll talk about this yesterday's game in a minute, but that definitely was not the case in Charlotte. So maybe that rain delay, you get, you know, they got to get back into it. But, I mean, the slow start led to their first goal was only 12 minutes into the second half.
Right.
And then there's one 7 minutes after that. So they came at us quick and had us on our heels. I mean, Tam brought one back shortly after their second, but it was a weird, it was one of the weirdest games I've seen in a while. Like, I would say that there's been one or two maybe weirder this season. That one where Marcel, I think, got a red. Maybe even his last game was a bit weird, but it was just the tale of two halves, and it was crazy to watch.
The other thing that I really didn't like about it was there was a tiny part of me that was going to get the extra points for doing a road trip game on the Rowdies app. They don't have the stadium location correct in there. They show the stadium as being about half mile west than where it is, so I couldn't even get my road points.
That's weird.
I got to email them, get that straightened out, but I want my points.
Yeah. I mean, you made the trip. You should get those points.
Those points alone put me at the I was looking at it last night. I can cash in and go get an autographed picture of any player I like.
Do it.
I wonder if I can still get a Freddie Adu one.
Oh, God.
But if you're looking for road games in the future, possible trips away, I would definitely consider Charlotte. I had a good time. The people were cool. The town was cool. We stuck around for another day. My daughter came with me. She didn't go to the game, but we hung around and did some stuff in Charlotte. I ran into my brother from Georgia, which is a weird story, but it was kind of cool. And then actually went to Georgia the next day after that and hung out there for a little bit. I will say this. I was going to try and go to the Atlanta/Orlando game when I was there and ended up not being able to get tickets to the highest attended game in the world that weekend. They had just under 73,000 people, but we ended up going to this little bar and grill in my sister lives in a suburb of Atlanta. And then we were a town over from there. And it's this little dive bar and grill kind of place. I think they had 10 TVs in there. 8 of them were on the Atlanta United game. And then they had 2 on the Braves game. So soccer is definitely making it in Atlanta, even outside of the people showing up to the stadium.
Soccer's never going to make it. What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
Soccer's
socialist
never
sport.
Make it. It's never going to make it in America.
All right. So, man of the match for Charlotte Rowdies. Who do you got?
For that game, I'm going to give it to... you got to give it to Aduro, right?
You got to.
It was amazing.
I'll come back to him in a second. Yeah, I would agree with that. Dom definitely was the highlight of the night. Got the equalizing goal. Played great the entire time as well. I'm thinking something else different. It was a really good overall game from him. And again, last night. So let's talk about last night's game. You got a chance to go back and watch it today in a state in which you would remember things. Last night, Rowdies 3, Toronto FC 2, Division 3 bound, TFC 2, 1. It's always weird saying scores when you say TFC 2 and you got to throw another number in there. Basically, the result we were all expecting, I want to say. This is what Neil even says it in the post game, not to take anything away from Toronto, young team with some pretty good players. This is what we expected to happen. Even when you're struggling, you expect to beat Toronto FC, too.
Yeah, we beat them twice, and they're the only two wins Neil Collins has.
Hey, we'll take it. You're good, bad, ugly from that game.
Oh, there's a lot of good. Again, this is taken with a grain of salt because it is against, you know, Toronto. The movement we saw off between the forwards and the whole midfield and forwards is very fluid. Especially Leo, Georgie, and Taylor very early in the game. The Vingard actually having... Vingard looked great as well. He had a couple of looks. He's been creating some. I like to see him getting involved. And on Georgie's goal, the awareness on that chip was cheeky. I don't think there's much more of a Georgie goal than that one to break the record. I think Lakowecki had a great game. But again, my focus here goes back. I know Georgie's going to get everything for breaking the record, but Aduro had another great game in that holding midfield role.
Yep.
He's played two games for us, and he has really helped settle the back line and settle the midfield down. So guys, you know, Joe Cole and Martin Vingard or Guinzotti, whoever's next to him, can go forward. And you know, with Lance Roseboom going down, Marcel Schaefer gone, it's good to have that presence. And let us not forget that I believe Saturday is our last pre-Poku game.
Yep.
So we're going places. It's really good to see this team is now finally coming together. I really enjoyed watching them play again. Scoring goals and winning definitely helps, but you can see the progress from when Neil first took over to now, and it was a good game. But again, take it with a grain of salt because it was Toronto. It was Toronto who has 3 points on the year. So it was basically to me a glorified scrimmage.
So we go on the road in Charlotte and run out in that 3-5-2 formation. And some of that probably had to do with the suspensions and whatever from cards. And then last night come out with a 4-3-3. Is this, you know, we've seen kind of both formations here and there. Is it, do you think it's more of a matter of who is available, who the opponent was, or is Neil still trying out some different things to see what he likes the most?
I think it's now finally having the personnel, even though it was listed as a 3-5-2, with Lakowecki being in, I think it definitely, ends up being a 4-3-3 anyway.
Right.
I don't think it was ever a true 3-5-2, it's hard to say. I was tweeting about it during the Charlotte game about how after watching the World Cup for so long, I would love a tactical cam for the Rowdies games. If we could get that where I could watch that, that'd be great. I think it's a lot of it has to do with who's available for selection. Taku and Aduro are the only ones that can play defense, but I don't think Taku is actually actually a natural defender, but he can play that right back role. So I think you're just you play the 4-3-3 with Lakowecki on the left and Hunter Gorski on the right. And side note, Gorski has been rock solid. He had a shaky start to the beginning of the season. Tam stepped up. He's doing great. Lakowecki's is settling in. Ivan, I've pointed out on Twitter, we all this talk about losing our best defender with Neil becoming coach. Ivan has filled in seamlessly. I don't think there's been anything where he's been a glaring issue.
No, I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
If we're bad, I don't know if I had anything bad. And this is probably a bit harsh, but. Toronto's goal was definitely ugly on Akira's part. You would think with somebody with his talent and experience, he would just have put it over the bar, punched it out.
I was really expecting him to punch it out. And I had tweeted at halftime that it was, it's one of those games where, because at halftime we had totally dominated him in the first half. Really, in that continued the second half, they didn't really get an actual shot on goal until second half stoppage. But we only had the one goal to show for it, and you don't want to let a team hang around like that. You want to get, if you've got chances, you want to put the ball in the net because you don't want everything to be undone by a fluke. And then literally a fluke happened, but luckily we had gotten a second goal by then.
Yeah. That's that we've seen over the years. That's the thing that has undone the Rowdies in situations is just individual errors. And, you know, I think it was either last year, or 2 years ago where we had that talk. I think you, me and Jake were in one of our conversations about how do you address individual mental errors like that? It's almost impossible, right? Like, I mean, mm-hmm. you Akira is a professional. He obviously in that game, he shook it off and continued on and played well. But you have a keeper in Cody Mizell that's just as good, if, you know, in some eyes, people would say better and has a slightly different skill set. So you got him breathing down the back. That's the nature of competition. So how does Neil handle that moving forward? We'll talk about that later, I think. It's, you don't want to see it happen. Against another team that could have been near deadly, you let them get that kind of momentum when you're only up, 2-1. So at that point, 2-1. So you just, you know, Akira will shake it off and he'll be fine. But I'm curious to see what happens moving forward.
Yeah, so I'll say my good, bad, ugly. Good, the play throughout the entire game. And again, you know, we're a good team. A lot of it, you know, we had help from Toronto being Toronto. Georgie's goal, at first, it happened so quick that I didn't even know that it was Georgie that scored it. My wife came with me last night, so we were up there in the kind of mob adjacent. Saw this shot happen, make sure the ball gets in the back of the net, and then looking to see who it was, because I had just explained to her, Georgie's still one goal away, because the mob was setting up the ropes for the TIFO just in case, and it turned out to be perfect. I don't know, I kind of felt, you know, I think a lot of people may have felt the same way too. They've been bringing the stuff for a month and a half now, but it just kind of felt like, man, last night was going to be a really good chance for Georgie to get that goal, and he does 8 minutes in. But the way he his awareness, and you mentioned this earlier on Twitter today about how, you know, we kind of started this show almost as a response to some guy, you know, griping in the stands for an entire game about how lazy and how slow and you know, Georgie was, when honestly don't think that's ever really been the case. He knows that one of the Toronto center backs has just kind of switched off after seeing Leon Taylor get bottled up by another defender, doesn't know that he's there. I think the defender saw the ball rolling, figured the goalkeeper was going to get it, didn't even know Georgie was there, and switches off. Georgie, you know, runs onto it, credit to him, and the keeper has come out to try and get it and leaves the goal wide open and nails it. I mean, that whole sequence was fantastic. For bad, I'm going to say the own goal, the Akira own goal. And ugly, I don't really have anything. I mean, another rain delay, another July 4th rain delay. I think this is, 2 years in a row. I was thinking, because we ended up leaving early, they had everyone come out of they told everyone to get out of the bleachers and come into the concourse. And my wife, being very claustrophobic, did not do well with that. So we left, you know, but when they had the rain delay going on, I think we were actually over the Skyway before they restarted the game. I don't know. Then the fireworks and it being canceled for whatever reason. And it's just not the same without Fort Lauderdale. So I'll throw that in ugly. Like, July 4th should be us in Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale should exist. That should be a thing.
I did. The broadcast ran in the stat that I think we're undefeated on 4th of July games. I think we have one draw and now 5 wins.
Right.
On 4th of July.
Well, in that case, and keep it going.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, two games in 2 weeks in 2 states, both with rain delays. At least this one wasn't at the start. But, I mean, you could kind of see, watching the weather all day, that it was possibly going to happen. I thought it might happen earlier in the game than it did. There was a couple storm cells that ended up moving south, but then that one came over. But, you know,
it rained out too. We had to move inside.
It's Florida in the summer. It's what's going to happen.
Yep. I mean, it's, you know, we can either that or you can play in a dome, which I would rather not.
Speaking of that, did you see the Indy fans discussing a certain topic today?
I did not.
So they're playing in Lucas Oil Stadium, which has like a retractable roof. And I guess yesterday, like, they were in a dome. They kept the roof open, still had to have hydration breaks because of the heat yesterday. And there's some talk about whether it's the stadium is contractually required to open its roof on a certain number of days, and they're having Indy do it, or if the team doesn't want to pay to turn on the air conditioning in the stadium for the games. So, you know, even if you're not in the in the tropics with the, you know, the regular 4 p.m. thunderstorms, you're still not escaping weather problems in soccer games in the U.S.
Global warming's not real. It doesn't really matter.
No, not at all. Well, yesterday there was Pittsburgh was delayed by weather. We were delayed by weather. Someone else, there was another game, maybe two games that were delayed by weather yesterday. Like, I don't know. There's no good answer for it. You want to, you know, take advantage of the holiday and get people out there and have a good time. And, you know, I think some people may have been turned off by the early afternoon weather yesterday. They still had a crowd of 5,200 before the rain delay. Not terrible. But yeah, I don't know. I just wish there was something you could do about it, but apparently we're not going to. So your man of the match for last night?
I mean, there's several, but you got to give it to Georgie on a history-making night.
Yeah, it's the winning goal. Well, I guess no. It's who was it? Second goal.
Leon.
Leon's would be the winning goal. But yeah, and you know, you mentioned it a minute ago with Oduro, and I was going to say it. Like, this is one of those games where I kind of want to, you know, maybe get away from doing man of the match and doing, like, you know, a hockey version, like three stars. Because there's a number of guys yesterday you could point to that had really great games that that factored heavily into the outcome. Georgie's goal, Oduro's overall play. Yeah, you give it to Taylor for third goal in third games. I mean, there's you know, and almost got in some more discipline trouble. Luckily just got the yellow for it. But it's one of those things. Like, it was a good game all around. And you know, again, little voice in the back of my head says it's Toronto, but you want to give our guys some credit too.
Oh, definitely. Cause you could shut off in a game like that, especially with Louisville 3 days later on the horizon. It could have been a trap game. Cause I mean, they're young and you know, they haven't won, but they drew Cincinnati. I forgot who else they drew recently. Like, you know, they're not a terrible, terrible team. So, and even then, you know, they're talented. They're professional. They could score a goal, like, you know, or weird things can happen when the team shuts off. But so they got the bike done and, we move on, and hopefully that gives them some confidence going into Louisville this weekend.
All right. So anything else we need to say about those games?
Nope.
All right. Let's hop into some league and team news. The current conference standings. Cincinnati's on top, 34 points. Pittsburgh, 31 points. Nashville and Louisville are in third and fourth with 26 points. Indy in fifth with 25. Charleston with 25. Charlotte with 24. Bethlehem in the eighth place spot with 23. We're in ninth place on tiebreaker ahead of New York Red Bull and Penn FC, all three clubs with 22 points. And Ottawa just behind. They got a win in Indy yesterday with 21 points. So there's some separation between the top two teams and the rest of the table. But we were in 11th going into the game yesterday. We moved up to 9th, and we're 4 points from third. So does the table look great? No. Is the season over and we should just call it all off? Absolutely not. We've got a lot of games coming up with teams ahead of us. I mean, I think we haven't played Cincinnati yet at all. We've played Pittsburgh once. We played Nashville once. We're going to have our last game against Louisville this weekend. But Indy, we haven't played yet. Charleston, I think we've played once. Charlotte once, and Bethlehem once. Like, we've got some time and some games that we can make up some of these points in.
Yeah, definitely. And we're starting to stabilize. What's his name that we just brought in? Oh, God.
Bonomo?
Yeah. He had a heck of a game yesterday, too, off the bench.
Yep.
And Poku's still got to come in. And, you know, we'll see what goes from there. So it looks and feels a little bit more dire than it is, but we can't let points slip anymore, especially at home.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's at that point where we need to collect as many points as quickly and as often as possible.
So let's see, who still has to come here? Cincinnati still has to come here. Was Pittsburgh here? Or was it away?
I
that we drew.
It was here, right?
That's, it was here. Well, yeah. I think Nashville we've played here. Louisville will be here, like we said. Indy still has to come here. Charleston still has to come here, right? Or do we go? Oh, we've actually got two games against Charleston because that's one of the ones we have three games against.
Yeah, and then Charlotte still has to come here.
Charlotte's supposed to come here. Bethlehem, we've got to go there. Let's see. Ottawa already came here. Let's not talk about Penn. Red Bull still have to come here.
Yep.
And then a lot of teams beneath us still have to come here as well. So, you know, like Jake mentioned, we've shown in the – or Neil Collins has shown that he can beat Toronto. The rest of the season is going to depend on whether we can beat other teams as well.
Yep.
All right. So one thing, and we kind of talked about this a little bit offline, and then I saw some other comments. Georgie's got the record. Like, we've been waiting for this all season, especially after he was racking up goals early on. What happens now? Like I said, I ended up leaving early yesterday during the rain delay, so I wasn't here for this. But someone on Reddit said, you know, after the game ended, Georgie came up to the stands, was signing people's two poles and taking pictures with the mob and thanking them and with the TIFO and everything, and said he gave a little speech that sounded kind of retirement speechish. We've kind of speculated this could be his last season. It took him a while to announce a contract for him coming back this year to begin with. What happens with Georgie going forward now, do you think?
I think we're at the point where it wouldn't shock me if he becomes either a super sub and or is one of the, it's kind of like, you know, hey, phase me out, Neil. Like, I've achieved what I needed to. I'm here if you need me, if we get a little thin or late in games, you know, because he still can be a game changer. And, you know, I can see that happening this year. I mean, it's, as I said to you, you know, in our chat, like, I expect him to be, you know, retire at the end of the season. But the way this season has gone, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Monday after Louisville, we wake up to an announcement that Georgie has retired and joined the coaching staff. You know, like, but I, with the talent we got up front, you know, it's not, I mean, it's always a loss when you lose a guy like Georgie Ristov, but, like, I could see, you know, him accepting a, maybe not such a constant first name on the team sheet. 'Cause even he's been, you know, a sub, he hasn't started every game. So it wouldn't shock me if he's let Neil, you know, play some youth, because that seems to be Neil's thing. I mean, he's given a lot of youth a chance, and I dig it. And it's starting to pay dividends. So, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously, I would say in reality, he's done at the end of the year.
Might be, you know, might officially be done at the end of the year, but technically could be easing off right now. And it's one of the things you got to look at. We've had, you know, comings and goings and new guys signing either in the offseason or since Neil took over. We've got five forwards on the roster right now. You know, just signed Bonomo, so you know he's going to play. Wenzadi's been playing. Georgie's been playing. Like, Yakin didn't even dress last night, wasn't even a substitute. So, you know, you have to see what's going to happen there. We got kind of a logjam at forward at the moment, and it's going to be tough getting minutes for everybody unless Georgie is going to, you know, sit back a little bit. And he might not. He, you know, we're just kind of speculating here, but wouldn't surprise me if something like that happens. I think I said this last night, I don't think anything that happens this season can surprise me from here on out.
No, not at all. And that's the thing. Like, like I said, it wouldn't shock me at all if Georgie retired, like, tomorrow and was like part of the coaching staff or something. Like,
right.
It's just the way it was this year has gone to the point where it doesn't shock me.
And so since we haven't done a show in 2 weeks, there's been some player movement and, you know, could be more coming. Who knows? We didn't even talk about Poku yet. Like, that's huge. But the two players signed since last time we've done a show, we mentioned Oduro and Taku before, or maybe you talked about him a couple weeks ago when I was in Mobile. But we signed Poku and Stefano. I'm sure I'm, you know, putting the emphasis in the wrong places. Stefano Bonomo. Poku was playing for, I'm not even trying to pronounce the whole thing, Anzi in Russia after he left Miami. But wasn't really getting into the team at all. So he'd been training here for a little while, and now we've signed him. He's not available until July 10th because of when the international transfer window opens, which one makes me wonder, like, did we pay a transfer fee for him? Like, was this, you know, or did we do a Miami FC and go out and actually buy a player and pay a fee to get him? Or is it just a byproduct of him coming back into the country from overseas?
Probably, I don't know. That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to, because obviously they didn't publish any of that.
Right.
But it might be part of having to, you know, the contract be released. Because I don't think, can they release somebody even when it's not the transfer window?
I mean, you can release somebody anytime you want, but I don't know. Because the Rowdies were really specific in their announcement that he was not available to play until after the July 10th window opened. So I don't know. Maybe it's just, I don't know. I now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of think I should go back. You know, if we look at the ANZI site or, you know, their social media, they might have an announcement. They might have more clarification on it. I don't know, but I'm excited to see him play. He's going to be available for that first game up in Cincinnati. We know he's training with the team right now. He's been training with the team for a while. I hear that he's a beast in training. I hear he's an absolute monster. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do, especially if he gets to do it against Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, he's a talent from watching him in ASL and, you know, his career. I kind of liked the fact that he's training with us and has been for weeks now, so it's not going to be a foreign system to him.
Right. He may not be fully match fit from playing minutes, but he's had some significant training time and some time to build relationships and chemistry with the team. So it's not like you're just throwing a guy in with little to no practice time.
Yeah. So it'll be a huge boost to the midfield that's already starting to look better. It'll be great. And you know, he's a great signing for this club moving forward. And I keep harping on the point that it's so good seeing the team put money behind Neil and let Neil reshape it as quickly as possible into what he wants.
Right.
And I think we'll see a lot of fun, good things in the coming weeks with this squad.
I mean, there's a lot that we lost when Marcel Schaefer left, you know, on and off the field, in the locker room, whatever. Poku seems like the kind of guy that can, you know, be a significant counterbalance to what we lost. Cause he's going to slot right into that Schaefer position, right?
Him and Joe Cole pushing forward with Oduro holding seems probably the way it'll go. Which will make me happy. I feel like that's dangerous. And then you also have, you know, Leo Fernandez, Leon Taylor, Georgie, or Junior Flemings, or, you know, we suddenly have, I feel like this is the deepest attack we've had in a very long time.
Yeah.
And even Yawk, like, you know, he's there still, you know, and if he can get going, it'll be great. So there's just a whole, it feels great, and you know, Oduro, like we said earlier, shores up this defense. So it's we're looking a lot better. My faith is finally returning that this squad can do things against the teams above us in the standings.
Right, like you don't want to put too much onto one player, like, you know, too much, I don't know, responsibility or something like that. But he feels like the kind of guy, and like we've seen him play with in NASL. We've seen what he's done to the Rowdies before. He seems like the kind of guy who makes everybody better around him.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's starting to feel like that Neil Collins wasn't just playing center back for us. He was keeping mental notes of who he hated to play against and wanted on his team. And it's just,
oh, like, yeah.
Now that he's the coach, he's just going to get him. And it's it's great.
And I'll be honest, the other new one that was announced today, Stefano Bonomo, the name didn't even really ring a bell because I haven't paid a ton of attention to other teams' rosters. But I pulled up that highlight video clip, which was from, you know, not too long ago. There was a lot of him scoring goals against the Rowdies in there, and it's only, you know, we've only been playing against Red Bull 2 for this year and last year. So seems to be a natural goal scorer. Had been with the Red Bull system for a while. They released him at the end of June, and we quickly snapped him up and made the announcement. Made his debut last night, hit the post. And I want to say, like, you know, as he was taking his shot on the ball, I think he was, you know, the defenders got to him from behind or and may have helped push that ball over the or onto the post. He's a big guy. He's a target guy kind of forward, I guess. I remember watching the video because he did a lot of the set pieces and took penalties for New York as well. And this kind of goes back to what we talked about a few minutes ago. I almost wonder if he's like a Georgie replacement.
I hate to look at it that way at all. He's definitely was causing Toronto 2 fits last night as soon as he came into the game. So, you know, he's quality from what he's done against us and what he's done with New York Red Bulls too in the past. But, like, again, everything with a grain of salt right now. It was Toronto FC 2. Let's see what we do against Louisville this week. Let's build something and see what these guys do in those situations before the hype train leaves the station.
Right. Afram Taku made his debut last night. It was after I'd already left.
Yeah.
How did he look in the few minutes that he got? I mean, were you able to make any kind of,
not really. I think I'm still wanting to see him play, you know, at least 75 minutes to see what he can do. I mean, he played in Europa League recently, so obviously he's a talent.
right.
So I would just like to see him, you know, play. I don't know why I've decided to, like, hang my hat on him, but I have. Like, I'm in his corner all the way, and I just want him to get minutes and see him play. I want to see what he can do.
All right, I'm gonna skip down here to these other two things on the list before we get to the Louisville stuff. We said it earlier. Toronto FC 2 is going to USL D3. I think that puts five teams in there at the moment. Orlando City has said that they're B team when they come back next year. Now that they've hired Louisville's coach, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, their B team will be in USL Division 3 as well. So, you know, when they first announced this idea of forming the USL D3, they said, we're not going to move the two teams. And now it seems like there's a lot of the two teams, volunteering to go there, at least. I know Dallas has a USL team coming in next year. You would have kind of guessed that might be in Division 3. Do you think all the division, or do you think all the two teams are going to go, or are we going to see maybe, you know, some stay up, some stay back?
I think I wouldn't mind some staying. I mean, you lose most of the Western Conference if all of them go.
Right.
But I just had this talk on the USL show.
I was just gonna say, I know you I was gonna mention that and kind of plug him. You were on the USL show and this came up on there.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problems with it. But look, you know, New York Red Bull 2 have, you know, were champions not too long ago of USL. You know, Swope Park has been solid. Real Monarchs are running away with the West. There's quality there, but it's frustrating watching teams, you know, like the independent teams, you know, like play in front of 100 fans. So there's something that has to be done, but I wouldn't mind. I mean, we lose Bethlehem Steel. Is that really the only New York Red Bulls in Toronto, right? Those are the only.
Yeah. See, I would assume, like, you know, Red Bull 2 might stay in Division 2. You know, they've got the attendance thing, but they are clearly out there as a team that keeps pace and even, you know, does better than some of the independent teams. Bethlehem, I could see staying up. I mean, I know they've got, you know, because they've got a stable location they play in, but they get results on the field as well. I mean, they're, you know, a point and a place ahead of us right now.
Yeah.
But there's definitely some teams, you know. I know Seattle 2 just moved to Tacoma, and they're kind of rebranding. you know, I don't know if they'll stay up, but they might with that kind of situation going on and the Timbers and all that. And you've got to kind of factor in the teams that are leaving, like Cincinnati going to MLS, and they're going to bring in that Central Conference next year. Like, it's still a state of flux, but I think it's, you know, first you had to deal with that shakeout about what's going to be Division II. Is it going to be USL? Is it going to be NASL? Is there going to be some kind of merger? And now I think you're seeing a further, like, shakeout. The teams that, you know, maybe the MLS teams don't want to do what it takes for their two teams to be a Division II standard as far as the investment in players and the stadium situation. So maybe they're going to drop to Division III. Might make more sense. We know Lakeland's been in that discussion as well. The Tropics outdoor team could possibly be a Division III. And it would make sense, you would think, if they're going to have, you know, if there's going to be an Orlando team. I mean, even Atlanta United could move down possibly, and you'd at least have some kind of regional travel for some of those Division III teams.
I think my biggest thing is if they don't want to invest in their teams as a two team, then they shouldn't have them. I think, you know, the Red Bulls, this on the part of the discussion we had was MLS wants the quality of play that the independent teams in that USL gives. So if you're dropping them down to Division III, they lose a good part of that competition, which might open up more loans for the better players and this, that, and the other. But you also lose control of the style they're training, the hands-on coaching from the parent team. So it'll be interesting. I wouldn't mind if they all went, if as long as we have a strong, viable options up and down the second, or you know, USL as a whole.
Right. I think you might eventually see a kind of system in place where you've got a lot of these two teams or B teams in Division III, and the players who have proven that they're ready for a higher level may get loaned to independent teams in Division II, you know, for a season or part of a season, and then they decide whether or not they're going to make it up to the big league teams up in MLS. I think is might be the scenario we're working towards at this point.
I agree. You know, you see a lot of that in other leagues and across Europe and stuff, where obviously your top division loans out those, you know, middle of the top tier talent, but aren't quite good enough for the first team, but are too good for the youth teams, and you want to get them, you know, develop them a little bit more, so they play with the lower, either like the lower top tier teams or, you know, the second division team. So I have no problem with it. U.S. I think you need to realize everybody needs to just accept USL is semi a development league and move forward from there.
And then, you know, it's also a chance to give some guys some coaching experience as well. I was thinking about, you know, and we're going to get into coaching changes and stuff in a few minutes, but Toronto's changed coaches since the beginning of the season. I don't know anything about their new coach, but he has a really big watch. I noticed that from watching the highlights. But we've got, you know, Louisville, and we'll talk some more about them in a few minutes. Their coach was just hired to go to Orlando. So he, you know, sticking with purple, and now we really don't like him. But they're kind of running under a kind of a system like us, except they're doing legitimate player coaches where we just have a player who became a coach.
They have three player coaches.
Yeah. It's like a little three headed Hydra kind of thing.
Yeah. It's,
but now Cincinnati, I mean, not Cincinnati, well, Cincinnati kind of. Red Bull's coach, MLS Red Bull, is supposedly moving to one of the other family of Red Bull teams. And there's rumors that Red Bull is interested in Cincinnati's coach, who, you know, what, a month ago, they promised he would be their coach when they came to MLS. He might be gone, too. I'm definitely, you know, don't have any problem with him leaving. Might give us a little opening to jump in and move up the table some more with two games against them coming up. But yeah, that's the big thing this year, because last year there really weren't a ton of coaching changes during the season that I can recall.
We started a trend.
I know. Tulsa fired their coach. They've got someone new, or I don't know if they've hired somebody new yet, or they're still an intern, but there's a lot of it going on. And yeah, so that's kind of the big thing I'm looking at this weekend. It's hard to do like a real preview for Louisville when they've just changed coaching staff, because not just their head coach, but the assistant coach left too.
Yeah,
I mean, which I don't think they were planning on. Maybe that's why they've got a three player system now.
On the USL show that I was on, we were talking about how apparently I didn't know this because I don't pay that much attention outside of the Rowdies. Louisville didn't even didn't expect it, so they didn't have a short list or anything ready, and they were kind of just blindsided that him, the head coach and the assistant coach just dipped for Orlando City, and that's kind of like, oh, okay.
I guess we better do something. All these opportunities opening up. Do you think we see Stu Campbell reappear sometime?
I don't know. Like, I would like to see him get a job, maybe in USL 3 or whatever it is. It's called the D3,
right.
and work there and move up and do stuff. But again, I don't think personally. I don't think his skill sets is D3 development. But anyway, I would hope so. I wish the guy well. I hope.
Yeah.
I don't want to play against him.
You know, you mentioned that Louisville didn't really seem to have a plan in place, which is kind of weird because I saw, I don't know if it was one of Louisville's podcasts or one of their fans just tweeted out earlier today, like their old coach had the top license in the U.S. He went to whatever that training thing was they talked about this summer. And he's got a UEFA A license. Like he's one of less than 10 people who have both of those licenses, maybe, at least in the country, maybe in the world. You have to expect at some point someone's going to come for that guy.
Yeah, of course. But, it was just, maybe there wasn't enough communication between him and Louisville or Orlando City and Louisville where they thought he was fine. And then they didn't even have a short list. And here we are.
Especially considering he's a former Orlando player.
Yeah, there's the connection. And screw him. Screw Orlando.
Screw that guy.
I wish him well. But it's, to me, I'm repeating myself from the last show. It's very weird to me that you would go to Orlando City mid-season when they're like bad. It's a pressure cooker situation.
Right.
That those fans will turn on you relatively quickly if you're not giving the results they demand so quickly. So he might be back in Louisville before the season's over. You don't know.
If things go bad for Orlando, that's fine with me. 8 in a row. Can't imagine ever losing 8 in a row. Like, we've gone 8 games without winning, but we've never lost 8 in a row.
No. I mean, I hope that streak continues for them. Screw them.
Yes, long may it continue. So, they're coming in. And so I'm taking a look at them. I didn't even dig into the stats yet. They haven't won a game since May 26th. They've drawn 4 of their last 5 and lost 1 game. Now with the changes in management, it feels like we're kind of catching them at the right time. We beat them at home last year, and they're still sitting 4th on the table right now. But it feels like things might be kind of coming together. It'd be nicer if we had Poku for this game. But I'm comfortable with what we've got going into it.
Yeah, I like our chances. Louisville not at home. When they're on the road or a different team, they don't have that crazy turf.
Right.
And whatnot. And now you have... I wonder how a three-headed player coach system works. Like, who makes the final choice? Like, do they rotate each game, or is it democratic? Like, 2 out of the 3 have to agree, and it just seems like a bad situation leadership wise.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. Like, the press conferences have been Luke Spencer, and he's the one listed. Like, the last game was their first game with the system in place. He was listed as the coach on USL's website. So, I wonder if it's a three-headed system, but he's kind of the main man.
I don't see that ending well, chemistry-wise.
Good.
Well, right. Good for us, but you hate to see that anywhere. But it's interesting. I'm keeping an eye on that. I just want three. We need 3 points this week. It's not just I want. We need 3 points this weekend.
And I don't want to keep going back and dragging up stuff you guys talked about on USL show. You guys should just go listen to that episode. It was really good. But the whole idea about do teams even need coaches, that was a fun discussion.
That's a discussion I would love to have longer. I Pittsburgh is the one team I would definitely say needs a coach. I think if wasn't there, they would not be where they are.
Right.
I made the offhand joke that I don't think that the Rowdies had a coach for a good portion of the season, and because that's part of the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde results. I think at home the players just played. So it's an interesting thing, like how much do managers actually affect the overall gameplay, and that it's an interesting discussion I would like to have in more depth. But I enjoyed that conversation on the USL show. I love that show. I love randomly guesting on that show. What they do up there is great.
Yeah, yeah, and Evan's really cool, and I know you guys had Ben on there. Ben's a fun guy.
Yeah, because I was
glad to get to hang with him for a little bit.
I was on Talking Jacks.
Yeah,
I guessed it on that, and then when him and I were both on the USL show together as well.
Well, we've got another opportunity we'll talk about after we're done here. But the last thing I want to get to before we get to we've got a patron question for tonight, and then we'll do the wrap up. So I woke up. I don't remember if it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday morning actually, because we were talking about this at the tailgate. This is going to start off really weird. There's been so out there at Premier Sports, which is in Bradenton, right off I-75, State Road 70. It's where they have the U.S. U-17s have their little international tournament around Thanksgiving every year. My daughter's played rec league soccer out there, but they built this like 5,000 seat stadium out there, and it's a county owned facility, and other events go on out there. And one of the events, which is a hot air balloon festival, posted something on Facebook yesterday morning about how there was going to be a meeting today about the possibility of bringing pro soccer to Sarasota Bradenton. So I put it out there to some people I know in the area, and they, you know, talked to some people they knew, and the story is that there's two possibilities floating around. There's two groups interested in possibly bringing a team down here, but not to play at that like 5,000 seat stadium that they built out there, which is a nice stadium. I mean, it's a great facility over there. It'd be perfect for like a D3 team or something, but to play at the baseball stadium in Sarasota where the Orioles have spring training, which Orioles put a ton of money into revamping that when they moved in there. It's a beautiful place. But I don't know. Part of it is I don't understand why they're not trying to play in this stadium. Maybe because it's a county-owned facility. I don't know. But the response that I got from someone who will remain nameless was that there's two groups looking for it. Both of them want to be, and they said USL D2. And I really think maybe they meant D3. They meant like the second USL division, because I don't think in one hand it makes any sense to put another Division II team here so close to the Rowdies when every fan down here, and we talked about this in a little group and also the tailgate, like no one down here is giving up the Rowdies if a team comes to town just because it's a new team moving in here. Like one group wants to start a new team from scratch. The other group wants to attract a team to relocate here. And I'm like, I'm definitely not, like if it's a D3 team, then that's one thing, but I'm definitely not like giving up the Rowdies and you know, be like the end of the podcast, I guess, to go support a Columbus type situation coming to town here. But there might be some talks about, you know, some kind of pro soccer team at some level. They said the goal is USL. And again, in their words, D2, but I really think they mean D3, but they're not committing to any certain level just yet. They want to see what the support is, what the numbers would be like attendance wise. You know, it could be an NPSL, UPSL kind of thing. I don't know. It could be, you know, it could even be PDL, which they've had in the area for a while, but it's never been promoted. The U.S. Soccer Academy out at IMG was a PDL team. But there could be some more stuff coming to the area, which would be fun.
That's interesting. That's something to keep an eye on going forward to see what develops down there, if anything.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in doing stuff with a D3 team, but we'll see. All right, so patron question from Jeff. Jeff, who does our player ratings and stuff like that. Sent us a question because he's also a patron too. He sent us two, so we're gonna do one this week and we'll do one next week. Which I told you which one, what they were. Which one do you want to do?
Might as well do the one that's listed here.
Okay. It's been over a month since Neil's taken charge. After how long do we stop saying new coach, changes, turmoil, and start demanding results? Basically, how long does Neil's honeymoon last? What do you got to say?
I think Neil himself, which I'm not talking about Neil Gaiman on Twitter. I'm talking about...
nice reference.
Yeah, I got some every now and again. I think Neil himself said, give him a month. Here we are. We have played some tough teams. We've mostly have drawn our games. We've only beaten Toronto 2. But I think you have to look, you know, these aren't really excuses here. The turmoil is gone. That's done. New coach, I think that's worn off. He's had more than enough time to have, has, you can definitely see the squad has finally adjusted to what he wants to do for the most part. Changes is a big thing that, like, I don't think you can now, you can't look beyond it because we lost Marcel Schaefer out of the blue. But we're bringing in Poku, Taku, Oduro, everybody else we've brought in. Like, you know, there's been some turnover. So you got to let some of these guys bed in a little bit more and get going. I mean, but you've seen Leon get his chance and run with it so far. You know, you have Oduro who stepped up, and we're only going to get better. So I think if you're looking at just pure results, I think we should be demanding them now. Like, it's from yesterday's game forward, demand the results. I think the honeymoon is over. I think this team is ready and we should only be getting better. And if not, then we still then we start asking questions. I don't think we it's time to start pushing this team a little bit. Like I said, the honeymoon's over. I think it's time to push and see what Neil's got. There's also you can't. My biggest thing is you have to look at each game as they are. They're each a different piece, right? Like, because you have the human element of the refs, you have different things. I go back to this all the time, but a couple of the books I've read about stats and stuff that soccer is like the one sport that relies a lot on luck, and that's like something that can't be measured in by probability and things because it bounces and this, that, and the other. And it's like soccer is like 50% luck, I believe it was. So you have to look at each game as it comes, and you know it's and it goes back to what we were just talking about. How much does the manager affect? So, you know, how much do we blame Neil for, and how much do we look at some of the players at times? I think now we should start asking questions if results don't go. But I think everything in the last month has shown Neil Collins is wanting, the players want to fight for it. Neil Collins is more than willing to fight for it by making the changes necessary to push for a result. I don't think I've seen him make a negative sub yet, like, you know, try to withdraw the team. He just tries to slug it out, and I appreciate that. But I definitely think it's time now, especially because we're getting late in the season, and we're just outside a playoff spot. Granted, we have a game in hand on some of these teams still. But it now is the time from this Louisville game Saturday on to make the push and hold this team accountable. I like what Neil and the team is doing. I like the guys we have here. But if you know, it's time to hold their feet to the fire a little bit. I'm not saying put Neil on the hot seat. That's ridiculous. But it's time to, you know, press a little bit. We're fans. You know, as supporters, it's what we do. I think it's time that we nod. It's game on now, guys.
Yeah, I was trying to think when we got this question. You know, the last time we had a new coach coming in at the start of a season was Rangan. So, you know, named in the off season, and then training generally starts, you know, January, February. You've got a period where you're signing players before then. Preseason starts. What is it, like February, March? And then the season starts, now with the USL season starts like in mid-March. So if you're starting fresh with a brand new coach and the coach is bringing in his players, they've generally got, you know, what, three and a half months to kind of get things sorted before the season starts. Stu was here, you know, wasn't a new coach in terms of how long he had been here before this year. Similar situation, brought in some players, trying to get them used to the system. Didn't work out after a certain point. And I think we said we've all agreed. I haven't really heard anybody who said that the decision to change from Stu was a bad one. So how long do you give a new guy? And, you know, this is where one of the benefits, maybe you're talking about Bill's idea of building bosses rather than hiring them. Sure, Neil's a new coach, but it's not like he's an unfamiliar guy to these players. So you don't need as much time to adapt to the new players as much. So, you know, new coach, I don't put a lot of time in that. And you know, these guys spend time together, you know, in training and outside of training. I'm sure, you know, at some point, you know, Neil's probably talked with guys and was like, you know, I would do this or I would do that. Or they've talked about different ideas, you know, what they would do, you know, maybe we should try this sometime. So it's not like his ideas are brand new to these players. I think the biggest thing and the turmoil, I don't know, you know, there's a little bit of drama for a week or so when the change happens. But a lot of that, I think, is mitigated by Neil being a familiar presence to him. To me, it's the changes. You know, he's going out and being back to bring in some new players, some guys that fit what he's trying to do, maybe better than some guys that were here. I think we've heard, you know, whispers that there could still be some comings and goings before it's all said and done. So, you know, as opposed to 3.5 months, you know, a month and a half, 2 months, I kind of agree with you. Now is the time. Like you had some games, you've won some, you've lost one, you've drawn a couple fairly decent results compared to what was going on before. But yeah, these are the games that we need to start making up the ground that we've lost already into the season. So this is where you need to start expecting and demanding results. That being said, I don't foresee a situation. And I know we've gotten some comments and some questions about this before, you know, with some of the results in the last couple games. I don't really foresee a situation where Neil doesn't make it through the season. I mean, it would have to be some kind of like huge player mutiny and, you know, flicks off Bill in a meeting or something. Even if results go bad, I still think he gets through this season and possibly gets another season next year. But I want to start seeing positive results and threes in the column rather than one when we at the end of the game. So, right about now sounds about right.
Right, like I think we have seen enough positive play from the team to see that like we should get results outside that first half in Charlotte. I everything I've seen has said this team has bought into what Neil has sold them. He has changed the culture. We're more a positive side going forward than we were under Stu, and we've bought the players or brought in the players that will help do that. And now it's time. You know, we took the gamble. We support. We're trusting the process. I still say trust the process because it's not complete. You know, I think Neil has a long term vision that he's moving the culture in this club too. But at the same time, it definitely the team has invested this year to, you know, make a run, and it would be ridiculous of us as supporters to just sit back and not let the results or not expect results. This team,
right,
regardless of who's in charge, is still, especially now, is still probably top three talented teams in the league, and we should be playing like it. We should be getting the results like it. I know a lot of people, I've seen a couple of people, I shouldn't say a lot, have said that maybe we just aren't a good football team, and that's BS. I mean, these names up and down have proved themselves in different leagues around the world and in USL that they are quality. And I know you can't buy chemistry, but these guys have chemistry. Like, we see them play. We see what's going on. We saw them in the preseason, how, like, they all are, you know, on the same page. And they're all fighting in the same direction to get these results. And it's time to say, like, hey, like, We sat on it for a month, a little over a month now. You know, let's do this thing. You know, like, we got to do it. It's or we're done for the year.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. Started thinking about it last night, and then a few minutes ago when I was wrapping up my, or a few seconds ago, when I was wrapping up my my answer. Like, our confidence as supporters and has maybe our expectations have taken a hit because of the way the season's gone so far. But the guys who are here because of what they've done before, you know, the holdovers from last year. The guys that have been brought in based on what they've been observed to do what they've demonstrated they could do in previous seasons, either in this league or you know, what they've done against us in regular seasons. It's not that we've got a team full of bad players. They just haven't done what they have shown that they could do in the past. So at some point, you know, and you know, huge streak of bad luck, whatever you want to chalk it up to, at some point, you know, it's got to change. The odds are that it's going to, you know, swing back around in the other direction, and it needs to start happening now. The guys who are here because we think they can contribute to us winning games and ultimately, hopefully, a championship. The guys Neil have brought in, same reason. You know, there's no, like, development talent there. Like you said, Taku, a guy we don't really know a lot about, but was in the Europa League recently. Oduro has you know, been a I didn't know what to expect of him coming in, has done great so far in the two games he's played. Bonomo, we've seen up close and personal now that I've watched video and go, oh yeah, that guy, to score goals. So, you know, it's not like we're just kind of bringing in random guys in hopes that they're going to do something. We're not throwing something against the wall, but everybody needs to come together. And the guys who haven't done what they were kind of expected or thought that they would do or could do, it's time. And it's time for us to you know, have those expectations again, to have the confidence and even, you know, maybe a little bit of that arrogance that we had at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was cool, the you know, the celebration back that the finger thing, Leo and, you know, Georgie, everybody was doing at the beginning of the season with him and Georgie and Leon last night. It's back.
Yeah.
So maybe that, you know, that little spit of swagger's coming back, that confidence amongst the squad's coming back. So, you know, let's do it. Let's see what we do against Louisville, who's, you know, in top four right now. I mean, granted, they're wobbling as well due to inter-club turmoil, but now's our chance, right? Like, this is the best chance to make a move. Let's do it.
Yeah. This is where we're going to find out. Like, you know, the games we've played so far haven't given us, I don't think, a complete picture of what the team is. Now we're really going to take on a team. Like, Pittsburgh was undefeated, and we played them, and we played them to a draw, and that was good. But this, I think, is going to be one of the best examples. They're the former champs, and yeah, they're not, season hasn't gone the way they expected. They're sitting in fourth and haven't won a game since May, but they didn't make a lot of changes on that team. This is still the defending champions from last year coming in. You know, we've got them this week. We've got Cincinnati next week away. Then we got to talk about other things involving that as well too later on. Like, this is where we're going to find out a lot about Neil, about a lot about his style, and a lot about these guys that he's brought in.
Yeah, I think this week and then Cincinnati are two extremely important weeks to get results. I think if we can't compete with a wobbling Louisville City and, you know, and Cincinnati, then just, we're not that great, or we're not quite, I shouldn't say we're not that great. I don't think we're just quite, not quite there yet. But it's a long season, so let's see what happens. But I agree, it is time to start demanding some better results from this, from everybody.
Right, and hey, hopefully next week Cincinnati will be going through what Louisville's going through right now, is in terms of their head coach situation.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
All right, let's wrap it up, because we're well over an hour right now, but we had a lot to talk about and haven't talked about it in a little while. So we love yous. What do you got?
Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh boy! Oh boy! Let's see. I don't know. I don't really know if I have any right now. I don't see anything that, I don't, can't think of anything that stands out.
I thought you might throw one out there to. I guess we can announce the newest member of the team.
Yeah.
The intern Callie.
Oh no! I don't love her. Screw her. No, I'm just kidding. Of course, she gets it. We love you, our little intern Callie.
Give her a follow on Twitter, unsub_Cal, the meme intern. It's not really fair to call her an intern. We're paying her just as much as everyone else on the
yeah,
team.
Yeah, she's a full-fledged member of the staff.
Yeah, sure, why not? I'll go ahead and make that official. So give her a follow, because she's funnier than either of us most of the time. I'm going to throw one out there to Mike Pendleton, because it's his birthday. The Emperor. Yeah.
He definitely deserves one. Twitter was extraordinaire, graphics extraordinaire.
That was my my pregame highlight from yesterday, was seeing Pendleton in his seats, which just, it still reminds me of, who was the, what was the name of the emperor in Gladiator?
I don't remember the emperor, but it's Joaquin Phoenix who played him.
Yeah, like just where he sits, the whole little situation. I was like, oh, the emperor's here. This is good. Today's his birthday, so happy birthday to Pendleton. We may have done him, gotten him a pretty interesting birthday present. We'll find out. I just love dropping teasers like that sometimes. So that's my we love you. Patreon, if you would like to submit questions like Jeff Dud did, and we're does we want to have it, he'll have another one for next week. Be a Patreon supporter at the $10 and up level, or if you just want to support us on a regular basis, whatever you'd like. There's $5, there's $1, $2 if you want to. It doesn't matter. Go to patreon.com/unusedsubspod. Give us a rating and review wherever you listen to this. Google's got some new podcasting. Like, they've got their own podcast app now, and we're already listed in there because of our host has us in there. So you can find us on Google Podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on Spotify, on iHeartRadio. You can now listen to us on, if you've got a Google Home or an Alexa, you can get it to play Radio St. Pete when we're on. Or since we're in the Google Podcast app, you should be able to listen to us on there if you want to torture everybody in your house. But ratings and reviews always are helpful for getting us in front of people who may like to listen to what we're talking about because it's related to something they've listened to before. As always, thank you to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, to Shamrock, to Mickey Quinn's, and to Big Storm. And thanks to our sponsor at Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Any last words, Daniel?
No. See you guys Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to the beach tomorrow, and then I'll see you guys on Saturday. Have fun.
Peace.
See ya.
The running was here, the running was there, they kicked the ball around.